This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so with occasional foul language, don't you often you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm. Get ready for the Social Hour.
From the Spokane Comedy Club, it's the Social Hour After Dark with Deese Casillas. Tonight, comedian Jill Marigolds. Comedian Chelsea Toll. And music from the duo of Glenn and Rachel. And now, a man who's far from anonymous about his alcoholism, Deese Casillas.
Thank you for coming out to Social After Dark, guys. Give it up for yourselves for being here. Thank you very much for coming out to this thing we do. We appreciate it. Give it up to everyone you're going to see tonight also, guys. It's going to be a great show. Thank you very much. We're going to get right in tonight with the news tonight, guys. A blind man recently is suing Playboy. He's suing Playboy because he says he wants to read the articles, but they don't have proper software on their website to help the visually impaired read the articles. But in Playboy's defense, just reading the articles is what made him go blind in the first place. So, yeah. The Satanic Temple is up in arms. Recently, they've been upset at the new Sabrina the Teenage Witch show because they say they've been portrayed poorly. A representative from the Satanic Temple said, "Hey, listen, we've got a reputation to uphold. We're not Fox News, okay? Take it easy." There's a woman, she's suing Samsung for over $1 million in damages because she stuck a cell phone up her vagina and it got stuck there. She put it up there because she said she wanted to know what it felt like when it was vibrating inside of her. Yeah, it's a true story. Now, despite the cell phone being inside of her for a very long time, she said that when she got her bill from Verizon, that's when she really felt like she was being fucked. So, yeah. In Southern news...
Yee-haw!
Real shooty down there. They like the guns. In Southern news, an Alabama woman over the Halloween season got fake vampire teeth stuck in her face. And then she was worried she couldn't get them out. But then she realized, hey, I'm from Alabama. These are better than the teeth I had. Those were her real teeth before the other ones. At a Dollar General store, a woman got arrested after she tried to stab a man because he said she farted loudly. I'd like to solve the puzzle. What is Florida? Why does everything crazy happen in Florida? It's ridiculous. And lastly, guys, some groundbreaking stuff. The first transgender contestant is going to participate in the Miss Universe pageant this year. Pretty big, right? Yeah. Yeah. It is rumored that during the talent portion of the competition, her talent is going to be able to figuring out where to have a place to eat. All right, guys, thank you very much. We got a lot of show coming up. keep it going, guys, for everyone you're going to see tonight, okay? All right, guys. So we got some guests coming up. Before we start that, though, there's been a lot of new people moving to Spokane. I'm not from Spokane, right? A lot of you know that. But I love Spokane. It's become my home over the last 10 years. So recently, I've been writing little love letters to Spokane. Write them here in my diary. And I thought I'd read a couple of them to you. This is just little love letters and tips about if you guys don't want, how we can keep Spokane a little secret, okay? It's a little segment I call Dear Spokane. Dear Spokane. Sorry, can you turn that down a little? The Mac? Thank you. Dear Spokane. If you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that argues over calling it Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, but still has a baseball team named the Indians. Dear Spokane. If you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community where Tech Nine visits more often than our governor. Dear Spokane. If you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that has winter and snow for half the year and can't manage to keep an ice ribbon open for more than 6 days at a time. Dear Spokane. If you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that votes Red Robin as best burger in town. Dear Spokane, if you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that despite closing hundreds of locations across the country, we're the type of community that still has a Sears and a Kmart. Dear Spokane, if you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that hosts Hoop Fest, the largest 3-on-3 basketball tournament in the world. And the rest of the year, you couldn't find three black people in the same place at the same time. Dear Spokane, if you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that's so behind the times that we don't even cut our cocaine with fentanyl yet. Too real for some of you guys? Dear Spokane, if you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that has 4 universities and 2 colleges, and everyone grows up to be a bartender. Dear Spokane, if you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community that where we have to put up signs asking people not to feed the prostitutes. It's a real sign they have on East Sprague, guys. I didn't take that picture. And lastly, dear Spokane, if you want to discourage people from moving here, just tell them that we're the type of community where the most famous black person from our area was actually a white girl from Montana. That's all in my diary for now, guys. I'll read some more to you later. Thank you for putting up with that silliness. All right, guys. You ready for your first guest of the evening? Yeah. All right. You can find her tomorrow night here, performing at the Spokane Comedy Club, open for Colin Moulton. She's been all over. She's from Buffalo, New York. Please give it up for the very funny Jill Marigos, everyone.
I was not sure you're going to sit behind me the whole time and just throw stuff at me. Hi, guys. It is lovely to be here. This is the quaintest town I've ever felt terrified in. Your homeless people are weird, but not mean. It's just they'll just come running up to you and stand next to you and then leave. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened. That was a drive-by. I don't know what that was. I'm happy to be here, though. I am from Buffalo, New York, but I spent about 4 years living down near Los Angeles in a town called Van Nuys. Just, yeah, well, fans of porn. Okay, it's here's the thing. It was not a great area. There was lots of crime. Like, we had a guy who lived across the street from us, and he sold meth out of a boat in his front yard. We called him Pablo Escobarge. We also had a 90-year-old neighbor, and he refused to get his dog neutered, and every morning we'd have to see this long, hairy, disgusting set of balls just dragging down the driveway. And then his dog would come up behind him with his balls. It's a lot of balls, is what I'm saying. I'm a married woman, believe it or not. Somebody married me. It's kind of cool. I'm married for 16 years, and here's the thing. After 10 years of marriage, sex becomes like Wendy's chili. It's really good. It's very consistent. Sometimes you do find a finger where it doesn't belong. And I love my husband a lot. I do. And I wanted to keep our sex life interesting. And I signed us up for a seminar taught by a guy who's been married for 65 years. What I forgot about a guy who's been married for that long is that he is about 90 years old. And he started out the seminar by saying, I've been married for 65 years and my wife and I still have a very healthy, active sex life. And the woman next to me is like, isn't that so beautiful? I'm like, no, it's gross. Because I've never seen 2 9-year-olds going at it, but in my head, it looks like you're just slowly pushing together 2 plates of pudding, you know? I'm really glad it's happening. I just don't want to think about it. That's all I'm saying. He insisted that we come up with a safe word because we're going to be trying new stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, I've just been using no. Can I keep using no? He's like, you can't use no. I'm like, all right, well, then I want Celine Dion. Because I think it would be amazing just once to be like, Celine Dion, get your finger out of my asshole. His other suggestion, delayed reaction, thank you very much. His other suggestion was just you guys take turns every, and you can do this, it's really simple. So like every other month, you guys come up with something new to try. So like one day a month, like one day my husband goes, next month I go. So it's like 6 times a year you got to come up with something new, which is pretty easy. And so I'm like, you go first. Like, I want to see what you got. And my husband's like, all right, why don't you role play as a nurse? I'm like, I can do that. It's really easy. So I gave him a bunch of paperwork to fill out. And then I made him sit in the living room for an hour. It was amazing. His copay was huge. Like, I'm not going to have sex with you. You're sick. It's so gross. So we didn't do that. Did I get a snort from the side? Thank you, sir. I've been married for a while. And here's the thing. So 18 years later, it's a long time. Like, I've known him. Like, things have changed a lot. Like, we met in person. We actually met at work. A little scandalous at the time. Now it's probably commonplace, you know. But like sexting's a thing. We don't do that. I have friends who are like online dating all the time, and they get all these like kind of provocative messages from people. My friend Kevin got a message from a girl, and he got excited about it because he said she was like hot and nerdy. I'm like, that's a thing now. Like, nerds get laid. That didn't happen when I was younger. Like, I went to school for engineering. I didn't get laid. Okay, I got the nickname Jill Nye the Science Guy. I'm like, it sucks for me. I'm like, what did she write? If she's getting laid for being a nerd, it better be friggin' good. And so he shows me what she wrote. And this chick said, I want to be the rhombus to your triangle. It makes no sense. It's mathematically inaccurate. Like, it makes no sense at all. I'm just like, here's the thing. Nerds are a little bit playful and creative, right? Like, a real nerd would have written something like, hey, you're hot, and I would just love to give your logarithm. Yeah. Or how about some fraction action? You can be on top and be the numerator. I will denominate the shit out of you. Yeah. Or how about we do some long division? I'll be the 100, you could be the 2, you can go into me 50 times. That's what it might not have worked. We would have tried it, though, you know. Waxing's a thing now, too. Like, women pay money to get the hair ripped out of their crotches. I have to do that shit. I got grandfathered in. I'm not changing anything at all. Fuck that. No. That's why I got married. When we got married, they said, for better or for worse, it's worse. Sorry. No. Sorry. I have good reason, too. I am old enough to remember when Tom Selleck shaved off his mustache. It was a tragedy. Like, my mom cried. Like, she was in a ball on the bedroom floor, like, crying for 3 weeks because he looked terrible. And I can tell you what was under his mustache was his face. I don't know what's under here, okay? I know it's not Tom Selleck's face. I can tell you that much. I trim it up, okay? Don't get the wrong picture. It looks fine. It's like my mom always said, if you don't like it, don't eat it. More for someone else. You know what I mean? I had a friend who was like, you don't get it all taken out. Just get a little landing strip put in. I'm like, landing strip? This is not Chicago O'Hare. I think if a guy doesn't know where to land the airplane, he should find a different fucking airport, shouldn't he? I don't understand. Prefer an experienced pilot for my cockpit. Thank you very much. No. Mm-mm. Dick pics are a thing now, too. You know, and all the time I've known my husband, he's not ever sent me a picture of his penis. Never once. Yeah, only because he loves me. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that dicks are gross. Guys get upset. I'm not saying that because we know that already, right? They're gross. They're super gross. Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of their work. Like, I love what they do. I just don't want to look at it because it's gross, right? I don't know why you'd send a picture of a tool to a woman. That doesn't mean you know how to use it, right? It's like sending a picture of a snowblower. I don't want to see it. Just plow the fucking driveway when it needs it. I don't understand. It's not the dick so much as the balls. They're gross. They are gross. They're weird. They're just gross and weird. They're like the ugly friends that just have to be in every picture. Just like, hey, 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 no, okay? Balls are the reason the word ich was invented. That's true. That's actually historically accurate. I just think if you want to get laid, don't send a woman a picture of your dick. Like, send her a picture of your clean apartment with your rescue dog in it. She'll fuck you immediately. Like, that's what you... Have I grossed you guys out enough already? That's funny. People ask me a lot, like, does it bother your husband that you do this for a living? And it doesn't. Like, he's super cool. He's very supportive. Like, he's amazing. I probably wouldn't be able to do this without him. And he knows, like, when I go on the road, I get to see people, like, that I don't get to see all the time. Like, I was in Portland last week, and I got to see a friend of mine. We hung out for the day. He happens to be a proud gay man, right? And we're driving around, and I'm like, hey, do I turn left up here? And he's like, no, go forward. I'm like, why do you do that? Why do you say go forward instead of go straight like everybody else? And he's like, I don't want to encourage anyone to go straight. I'm like, all right. So we had a great time. We went shopping, got back to my car. And I'm like, just go ahead and throw your bag in the front seat. He's like, well, why? I'm like, I don't want to encourage anyone to put their package in my trunk. That's fair. You're a womp. I'll take it. Okay, I'll take your womp. It's 10:15. And meanwhile, my husband is at home. He's watching shows about cars that have been broken for 75 years, but now suddenly they have to be fixed by Wednesday for some reason. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not watching these anymore. I remember the moment where I'm like, I'm done with this shit, because it was a commercial that came on for AutoZone, and it went, if you want it and you need it, just ask us and we'll get it. Like, what? Isn't that how every auto store works? Why would they spend millions of dollars on an advertising campaign that explains how every single auto store works? That's dumb. That's like an OBGYN having the jingle, we'll put you in a paper gown and ask you to scooch. We'll fondle your boobs and poke around in your cooch. All right. That is my time. So thank you for letting me hang out. Have a good night, everybody.
Jill Margos, everyone. Keep it going for her. I think AutoZone's jingle is how every business works.
It is. It's how every
single... officially, that's...
But what's weird is, like, if you go to an auto store, you don't just go pick a part off the shelf. Like, yeah. You actually have to go, can I have that radiator? And the guy's like, yeah, okay. And then he disappears. And then he comes back with it. Like, it's like, we can't
with a
be
radiator?
Trusted.
He
just with comes, anything. He's like, with anything at an auto store. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Except if you want like a steering wheel cover. They'll trust you with that, but nothing else.
Let me go check in the back for that. That actually reminds me, the last couple weeks ago, I was in Montana, and it's where my parents live, and my mother texts me, and she's like, hey, do you want to go to dinner? There's this little place called Mod Pizza. Have you heard of it? And I'm like, I live in a major metropolitan area. Yeah, I've fucking heard of Mod Pizza. And then she continues, it's this place where you go up, you order whatever you want on the pizza, and then they make it right there. I'm like, I think you described every restaurant ever. That's exactly how every... Have you ever been to a pizza place like potatoes only, pick it up across the street?
Yeah, exactly. What are the ones that don't make it for... Like, you have to take it home to bake it.
Yeah.
Where does it... Because it's the same size as, like, a regular pizza store, like a pizza shop, but then, like, there's no ovens or anything. You're just like... They're like, here's your raw pizza.
Yeah, maybe they just, like insurance. They couldn't cover... They don't have the insurance to cover. It's like, listen, these are meth addicts. They can't handle ovens.
He's going to scorch himself on the oven. We can't be doing... All right.
Yeah, it's very...
Mod pizza.
But it works. The business model works. They're still open. I don't get it. I'll just get a pizza that's made. Little Caesars have them for $5 already made. Yours is ready right now. Whether you want one or not.
I have to remember to turn the oven on. It's so weird. All right.
All right. So, Jill, now where did you start comedy? In Buffalo, is that right?
No, I started in Los Angeles. I was living in Los Angeles.
Okay, you're from Buffalo. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I did look at your website once.
Look at you. Stalking. A little stalking.
So you started...
Research.
How long have you been doing comedy for?
7 years.
7 years. And started... Where was one of the first places you did comedy in L.A.?
I started at open mics... And
you just go right to the Tonight Show?
No, believe it or not.
You always listen, just right this way.
Jimmy and I go way back. He's super cool to me. No, I started open mics, and people were like, you're actually kind of funny. So then I just kept writing, and I remember my first show was at a place called Flappers, and I did like 6 minutes.
A little Burbank, right?
Yeah, in Burbank. Yeah. And I was like, this is crazy, because I didn't sleep. Like, just the 6 minutes went over and over in my head, like what worked and... Like the things that made people laugh that I didn't expect as part of like the setup, and I just sort of overanalyzed all of that, and then it's heroin, because once you've done it and you get laughs, you're just like, oh, I have to do this forever from now on.
I get to be poor forever
like,
now.
I know. I'm like, oh, this is my life from now on. So if you're thinking about doing it, don't, because you'll never get out of it.
Don't.
It's like a spider web. It's amazing though.
Also, we need more gigs so we can have more competition.
It's awful. You'll hate it so much.
Now, this is a question I always like to ask comics. Is there any bit of your material when you started that still exists in your comedy now?
Yeah, the AutoZone stuff, I think, started there. It's morphed a little bit. I think most of the stuff that I started with was pretty dirty, or like people were like, yeesh. So like that stuff got cut out, but for the most, I've sort of built on it. Like I've written so much, and that it just gets cut down to like a 5 minute bit cuts to 3 to cuts to 30 seconds, because I'm like, this is the stuff I like the most, and I try to keep it like as many laughs as I can per minute. So yeah, a lot of the stuff that I wrote at first is not a lot of the stuff, but the AutoZone stuff is still here, and other stuff just because, like, oh,
just
this could
closer,
be replaced.
Right?
Yeah, it's my closure. It works, now, yeah. You know, mostly. You guys didn't like it that much, but that's fine.
They're Napa parts, people.
I should have stopped with the one before it, I guess. Yeah, that's fine.
So I have a little game I play with people the first time on my show. It's called The Rundown.
I thought that you just said, I'm a little gay, and I'm like, that's super
no,
cool.
No, totally gay a lot.
Just, I was like, I am so
definitely
happy.
Very,
awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to move forward with the show.
Okay.
It's called The Rundown.
Okay.
So this is a series of questions I have compiled over the years. And I think it tells a lot about a people. It tells very little and tells a lot at the same time.
All right,
are you
let's
ready?
Let's do it. All right. My soul is yours.
You're connected to a polygraph, so we will know if you lie.
Okay.
Okay. First question. If you could travel anywhere in the world, all expenses paid, mm-hmm. anywhere you want.
Yeah.
But you have to travel with the person you hate most in life.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Where would you go and who would that person be?
I would go to, okay, the person I hate most in the world is this woman from my Italian class who already knew.
I like
knew.
How you so quickly knew.
She
That's awesome.
Oh, I fucking, if I could bury her heart under floorboards, like in an Edgar Allan Poe type way, I would do it. Except when the raven came around to, like, say nevermore or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, I fucking did that shit. Fuck her.
She deserved it.
Yeah, you know how hard it is to high-five a raven? Yes. I would fucking do that. I hate her. So she knows
lady
Italian.
From your Italian class.
So she was fluent in Italian. I fucking hated her. She was smug as shit, and she wore lip liner with like no lipstick, which is a sociopathic.
She was a chola.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't Hispanic. She was like half, I don't know, Filipino, half cheese grater on my fucking nerves.
It's like a quarter Hispanic.
I hated her. No, she was not. She wasn't. She was. She doesn't get credit for it. I would take her. And I would travel really fucking far. Okay. Like as far, like Australia. So, just so that she had to sit for hours. You know what I mean? I would build it. I'd practice sitting just to make her be like, you can't get up. I'd give her window seat too because she's coming for fucking free. Fuck her. And I'd take her to Australia and then I would just leave without her. Fuck her. Leave her there.
Well, Jill, you're going to be surprised. She's here tonight. Come
no,
on
she's
down.
Not. You know what? She goes by... This is how fucking pompous this chick is. Her name is Laura, and she insisted on being called Laura. And in
oh,
yes.
Yeah. I hate her, too.
You hate her,
Let's
too.
Let's kill her.
You should hate her.
Let's plot to kill her. So this is going to go out on the internet, so I'll edit this part
fuck.
Out. So
Laura?
If she ever does come... If Laura ever does come up missing, it's not a premeditated crime.
No, fuck no. She can suck my hypothetical dick.
Okay.
Okay. How much I
now
hate
we
her.
Know. I like that you're,
sorry.
I like that you're
this,
honest.
Should I be PG-13?
No, but I like that you're... So many people ask that question. They're like, I don't hate anyone.
Oh,
I'm like, bullshit,
people.
You're a liar.
No.
Everyone hates someone.
No, I hate. I do.
Are you Italian?
No.
Okay. I just with the Italian class, I know
yeah.
you.
Yeah. No, okay. I just learned it.
Okay. Are you fluent?
Not fluent.
Can you say something? Say something. I won't know the difference. Make it up.
I'm sure they're volevo andare in Italia con Laura perché è un stupido persona e non mi piace quando qualcuno è non è I don't know.
I don't speak Italian, but okay. I think I got the gestalt of that. yeah, I think I got the broad strokes.
Yeah. Yes.
Something about Laura, and she's a really nice person.
Yes.
Okay.
Stupido should have given it away.
Yeah. Speaking of Italian, we're going to talk about pizza for a second.
Okay.
If you could have one pizza for the rest of your life, you could have anything you want on that pizza, but that's now the only pizza you can have for the rest of your life. What toppings would it be?
Black olives. Extra cheese, crispy, thin crust.
Wow. Yeah, you are the best at this game so far, because everyone else is like, I don't know, man.
No, that's it. That's the only way to go. Crispy, like brown the cheese a little bit, so it's yes. If you're not asking for crispy, you're losing out.
Someone tried to pull bullshit on me, like, well, I would do, like, cream cheese and avocado and salmon, and I'm like,
that's not
pizza. I'm like you're talking about sushi right now. You're making sushi.
What the hell? Did you kick them off the stage? They're like, get out.
Yeah, get the fuck
there,
out.
I want to take them to Australia and leave them there.
Yeah. We're adding one more person to that trip, Jill. All right, sticking with food.
Okay.
You could only eat one fruit for the rest of your life. Any fruit you want, but now it's the only fruit you can have. What is it? What rules the fruit kingdom?
Rules the fruit kingdom. I am going to go with, do I have to prepare it or I get to eat it?
It's however you want. You can have that fruit unlimited.
I'm going to go with pineapple.
Oh, it's a solid choice.
Yeah.
I like that.
As long as I don't have to prepare it or, like, you know, cut it or whatever.
It just comes in cans. It's dull. Canned already. You're
dull.
Good to go.
Dole it out to me. I'll take it.
Jill, what is the most recent law you've broken?
Sped, for sure. I'm a motorcycle. Are you shitting me? Yeah.
Driving here or what?
No, on my motorcycle.
Oh, you have a motorcycle?
Yeah.
What kind of motorcycle?
A little Yamaha R3.
Ooh, Yamaha R3.
Yeah, it's small. It's not like a big motorcycle, but they just recently repaved the twisty turnies around my house, and it's heaven.
I don't like anything where my ass is above my head.
When your ass is above your head?
Yeah, I think you're at a weird angle on that thing.
No, your ass is below your head.
I don't know. Maybe I'm riding them wrong.
Yeah. You should. I hope you're wearing a helmet if your ass is... Okay.
Mine's designed different. It's actually a sex swing. You wear leather for both. It's fine. Look, there's going to be road rash. That's what I'm saying. All right. If you could purge for 1 hour, like the movie The Purge, anything is legal. You get away with it.
Yeah, murder people?
Yeah. You are into this. Okay. Laura's going to be dead.
She's
obviously.
She's gone. She's the first one.
What would you do?
I'd murder a bunch of people.
Murder
I'd murder
a bunch
people,
of people.
Yeah. Wouldn't you? It's legal.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Okay,
you obviously murder the shit out of people.
There was a chick once who took the blades off of her ice skates. I was taking ice skating lessons, and she took the blades off of her ice skates. Dies. She has to die. Because who does that? That's not normal, right? Like, she just took them off, and then she couldn't use them anymore. Like, why did you need ugly shoes? She should die.
Wait, while skating? She's just like...
No, she just showed up to class without the blades on her skates.
Oh, and she thought she would still be fine.
No, she's like, can you put these on? And it took, like, the instructor, like, 25 minutes to get... Because they're balanced perfectly.
Yeah.
She should die. She's
Wait,
stupid.
Are you an ice skater, too?
I mean, not right now.
Well, obviously, you're on stage.
I mean, I took lessons and stuff.
Okay.
No, she should die. Laura should die.
Laura should die. The ice skating girl should die.
For sure.
Okay. So just a lot of murder.
People who say the H after the W, whom, or like white, you should go. Who do you think you are? I'm all right with you texting and driving, crazily enough, but okay. I don't... I mean, more people should definitely die. We have too many people as it is.
That's true. So you just kill a lot, like indiscriminately. Or like quick survey, like 30-second survey.
Okay.
Are you going to live? You got to just like interview them quickly, and then they're just like, how many kids do you have? Do you pay for them? What's your income? What's your credit score? Okay, you're going to have to die. Sorry.
Yeah. There should be a criteria. No, I mean, I think if you have more than 5 kids, you should die because you're probably going to have more.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
If you have that many, the oldest one can take care of the other one, so get rid of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, there's probably, yeah, one's old enough, too.
Right?
That's true.
Ex-boyfriends? Lots of, all of them.
Every single one?
Sure. Okay. What good are they? They're going to find somebody else anyway. Fuck them. They should go.
And so kill the ex-boyfriends and
They're
their
no
new
use
lovers.
To me.
And, yeah, okay.
You guys are thinking I'm super violent. I am on the inside. I would never murder anyone.
I'm
I just
starting
think about
to fear
it.
For my life
Do you
life
not think about
here.
Murdering people all the time? I do all the time.
I do, yeah. Yeah, I do. It's true. I mean, the people are the worst. And they're everywhere, it
they're
turns out.
They're all over the place. I know I'll think of a million things when I leave here. I'm like, oh, they should have totally died.
All right, we'll stick with murdering indiscriminately people.
Just not based on a criteria.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, whatever you feel. It's your purge. You do it for an hour. You got an hour.
Yeah, it's my
purge. Fucking whack-a-mole
I mean,
while you can.
How much can I do? There's only so much stabbing before your arm gives out. You got to pick the
Is
right
stabbing
one.
Stabbing your choice? That's how you do it?
Why not? Why, you're not going to get more satisfaction than stabbing. The resistance, you're like,
Sure, yeah.
If you watch Snap, isn't that pretty much all they do is like 75 stab wounds?
You wouldn't
like
want to mix it up, or like drown one person,
no,
push someone off a cliff.
No,
yeah.
You don't get the satisfaction. Plus, you have an hour. You're like, okay, I've got my tool. You can just get started, right? Yeah, so if the timer is set, you're on the doorstep of Laura, and you're like knocking on the door right at like minutes, second one. You're like, boom, go. And then you're like, you got to plan that shit out. You've got 1 hour.
Yeah. But you're running from victim to victim with a sharp object. That's dangerous.
No, I can handle that. I'm all right with that.
You are badass.
I have a motorcycle and a knife. What else do you need?
She has a motorcycle. She's She's like the renegade, like Lorenzo like, Lamas.
Like some, yeah. What was that movie with Mel Gibson?
Braveheart.
No. The one that they remade was Charlize Theron. Max.
Mad Max.
Mad Max, yeah, that's okay. Me. I'm like Mad Jill.
That is terrifying.
I'm sorry. I'm really nice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, God, we thought so. Okay, if you could have it, we're going to move on from the murder thing. In fact, I'm going to delete this whole show.
I'm sorry.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Invisibility.
Murder people.
Invisibility. I want to. No.
So you could murder people.
No, I want to see what people are saying about me. I would want to know if people are talking shit. Like, I want to know who's talking shit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, when you want to know, I would want, because flying, okay, whatever, I can take a plane.
So you just want to, what would you do then?
I would sneak around and listen to what people say.
I heard
about
what
me.
You said about
no,
me and my dagger collection.
I would just know it. That's all. Because it could be good, right? You're assuming everybody's talking shit about me for sure, but I'm like, somebody could say a nice thing. And then you'd be like, oh, they're cool.
Yeah, but you don't care when someone says a nice thing. It only made
no, it gets deflected.
You're like,
fuck, you don't absorb
fuck
that.
Daryl and yeah. saying I wore a nice shirt.
What do you know, Daryl?
I hate Daryl.
Fucking Daryl. I'm gonna murder him for you. He's on my list. Fuck Daryl.
Yeah, he's the worst. Jill, what's one karaoke song no one should sing?
Oh God, one.
The what's the.
Because Christmas first, music is the worst.
Well, Christmas. But then, Christmas is. That's not even. That shouldn't even be done.
Oh, you know what? I'm just gonna. What's the Journey song that everybody sing?
Oh, Don't Stop Believing.
Stop Believing. Yeah. Stop Believing because it's been done too many times.
Also,
you need
no
to
one
stop
can
believing.
Do it. No one can do it like Steve Perry.
Steve Perry.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. What's your go-to karaoke song?
I don't sing in front of people.
You've never?
It's terrifying.
Ever.
No. I do that little jingle as, like, I can kind of get through this, but the idea of singing in front of people makes me want to just die.
What would it take to you to sing in front of people?
Four Jamesons.
I need four Jamesons. up to the, we'll just bring the bottle. We'll go shot for
just
shot until we sing.
Just all the Jameson.
Yeah. Nothing? What would you sing if you had to?
Can't sing. I'm
you
a terrible singer.
It.
No,
I'm a terrible singer. I do it all the time.
No. I can't. It's literally the most terrifying thing I can think of.
It's easy. You do stand-up comedy. It's like that.
No, it's not. Because it's different. It's like acting and song. I can't sing, and then people are going to hate me.
Performance art.
Mm. What's yours?
It is a Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't. Yeah.
It's respect.
Can't. Yeah, because that's sexy decent. Saxophone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is an art.
Do you get laid?
Do I get laid? Never. Not once. Are you fucking kidding me?
Because that seems like I'm putting this out there. I want to whisper carelessly.
Yeah. I mean, I try, but it's, you know, I'm singing George Michael. What do you...
That's true. You need to be in a bathroom.
Yeah, well, that's... Right. I'll be in a bathroom later singing George Michael.
There should be a hole in a wall and a bathroom and a truck stop.
All right, last question.
Okay.
Jill, if you were a hip-hop artist, what would your rap name be?
You're saying Lil Jill with a L-I-L? Lil Jill.
Jilly Jill.
Jilly Jill. Jilly, Jeff, Def, no.
Jeff.
Jazzy.
But the G-E-O-F kind, you know.
I'm trying to think of something Jilly.
Lil Jill. Come on, guys, please.
Jazzy Jill. And
tell it to a lot of white people in this crowd. Lil Jilly Jill. Peanut butter and Jilly.
There's not much. Jilly is not like a cool urban name. You know what I mean? I would just be like.
Jill Scott? She's urban.
It's just Jill Scott. That's like a normal name. But it
seems
not,
like a white person.
Like, you can't
name,
make that
right.
into a rap name. I would just have to be like, you know, Cut Face. Like, I'd have to go like. Totally different. Like, where people are like, "That's Cut Face."
Like Cut Face.
Like they see a picture of me, and be like, "Is she a soccer mom?" Or I'm gonna go with Cut Face.
Okay, all right, Cut Face.
Jilbo Bag. That would be if I was on the Shire. That's my first release, the Shire.
All right.
Shit and Shire.
All right, so Jill, tell everyone where people can find you. Facebook, Instagram.
I have a website, jillmaragos.com. I don't mean to say that like I'm better than you or a website. I have a podcast.
It's a .com.
I do a podcast called The Mind Behind. That's fun. We talk about weird things people do and try to figure out if we could do it, like people who are furries and like foot fetishes and stuff like that. And that's fun.
Have you done that?
No, I'm like, feet gross me out. They do, but I don't. I respect people who are into feet, but we just try to figure out how close we could get to it. Like, how close... Like, if you're, like, really grossed out by something, you have to try to figure out how close you could get to that.
To
like, what you
it.
Would allow.
So, with the furry thing, how close can you get to that?
Oh, I'd be all
like,
over it.
Like, stabbing a squirrel? Who's probably
no, furries dress up as, like characters. Like, they dress up as, like, bunnies and stuff, and then, you know, they're just super into it. It's not even necessarily about sex, but they dress up as, like, different characters, and, like, that's how they identify as people. So, like, I definitely wear, like, a tail and ears and stuff. I'd rock that shit. Right.
Well, yeah, that's the easy part. It's that hot, sweaty costume.
It's the hot, sweaty costume. Like full bunny gear? I don't know.
Someone,
I have a hard time with pants.
I was at a fest, doing a festival one time, and somebody was wearing a full furry costume,
yeah.
Audible mouth and made purrs and everything.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I was having the worst acid flashback of my
life.
It's crazy. I'm like, this is terrifying.
Did you
right
know
now.
If they don't have mouths that move, they're not allowed to talk? They have to commit to that.
Really?
So if their mouths don't move, they have to just... Like motion
Mine?
And stuff. It's part of the rules.
Yeah, I didn't read the rule book on furries.
That's part of the rules. So. The furry rules. That's all.
Yeah,
whole
read
thing.
The book. It's good. Maya Angelou wrote it.
Maya Angelou.
It's very
Once
popular.
Upon a Furry.
Yeah, Once Upon a Furry. all right. Let's see. And you're going to be here tomorrow night?
Tomorrow
again?
And Sunday.
Tomorrow
with Colin and then Sunday with John Heffron.
Perfect. And where are you going after that?
Home.
Off to home. Perfect.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Back home, San Francisco. Perfect. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, before you leave, get your tickets. Come see her tomorrow or Sunday. Please give it up for Jill, everyone. Thank you very much.
I'm not as murdery as you think.
Make sure you have a buddy walk through your car. Not Jill, you guys. She'll be out there. Oh, shots. Look at this, guys. Oh, secret shot. There's two. Are those both for me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is great timing, guys, because I want to get drunk. We actually have a shot special tonight, guys. It's a Washington Apple. That's a whiskey pucker crayon. They're only $3. Anyone want to do a shot? I'm going to do one. You guys, if you want one, raise your hand. Your server will come around. $3 a shot. Anybody drinking? Anybody drink? You guys all got shots? I can't see if anyone's raising their hand or not. All right. Keep them up if you want them, guys. Your server, come around and take your order. Just $3. Killer deal. And save them. And after our next guest, we are going to do them together. Okay, guys? So just hang on to them. She'll get your orders. And she, I think, over here, Crystal. All right, guys. Your next guest coming up, a good friend of mine, a local hometown hero. She's killing it over on the west side. Please give it up for the very funny Chelsea Toll, everyone.
That is totally the intro song that I requested. Thank you, Deez. What's up, you guys? This is my fan club over here. I love it. Oh, right here. All around. Well, thanks for coming out for the late show, you guys. This is awesome. We had an all-female show last night that went over really well. It was awesome. Everybody stayed even after they found out it was all-female show. Shocker. Some people, I was expecting people in the back to be like, not in Trump's America. Or whatever people say over here, you know. close enough. Just kidding. I do. I love Spokane. I used to live here. Now I've gone to the dark side, moved to Seattle. I know. I'm chasing this dream. I think that I'm a worse person now that I live in Seattle. Because, I mean, coming from, Spokane's not a small town by any means, but you get that small town feel. Like, we're good people over here, you know? You have to do something pretty outrageous to, like, feel really good about yourself, to, like, get those karma points. You know, you got to take in, like, a family of refugees during Thanksgiving. Whereas in Seattle, like, I just feel good about myself if I, like, properly identify somebody's preferred pronouns. hand someone their coffee, you know? And I'm like, here you are, ma'am. I, too, identify as a woman. I see you. And then I, like, buy a lottery ticket because I've earned my karma points, you know? I have been doing some traveling for work, for this art that we do, just down in L.A., just doing a college show down there. College, yeah, I miss college. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I graduated college 10 years ago. I've got a degree in biochemistry, and now I work at Starbucks and tell dick jokes. That's right. So if you are pursuing higher education, like, keep going. You'll acquire some debt, and you can be me someday, you know? It's cool. I do miss college. I miss dressing for Cabo San Lucas, no matter how cold it is outside. I went to Eastern, by the way. Just walking in my UGG boots. Yeah, go Eags. I'm walking in my UGG boots with my juicy pants on, freezing my ass off. What else do I miss about college? Oh, guzzling HPV. By the ballful. I did that joke at the college show that I did, and the kids looked at me all weird. They're like, what's HPV? Or whatever. Because their parents love them enough to give them the shot, right? To vaccinate them. But I don't want to get vaccinated at 32. I think, I don't know, like, don't want my pussy to get autism or whatever. She already doesn't understand social cues, you know? That was for you. Welcome. Let's see. I've had a pretty big weight change recently. 30 pounds, huh? Yeah, 30 pounds. Thank you. That's right. I gained 30 pounds. the old bait and switch got you there. It's true. I did. I moved to Seattle to tackle a debilitating eating disorder that I have carried around with me for 15 years. Mostly because I wanted to be less sharp, so guys would want to have sex with me again. It was a real fear of mine that I was going to, like, pop some guy's dick with my pubic bone, you know? Never happened, but... And also, like I said, I'm 32 years old, and I've never been titty-fucked before. Yeah. You guys see it from the side, right? I think I might stop now at 30 pounds gain, though, right? Because, like, if I push them together, they almost touch, but it's, like, still ribbed for his pleasure. Just really like the acoustics on that joke. I'm going to start an electrical fire one of these days. I'm going to stop doing that. One of my male comic friends came up to me. He's like, hey, Chels, can you stop doing that? Like, I really don't want to follow you after you've just rubbed your bones all over the microphone. Cool. In treatment, I lived with 21 anorexic and bulimic girls. And what I learned there is bulimic girls are the grossest people on the planet. We're like two different gangs, you know, the Annas and the Mias. Not very intimidating. But we're always carrying blades, you know, or whatever. Okay. No, it is true. Anorexics and bulimics, like, don't get along. I think the same way that, like, gays and lesbians don't get along. It's like we're fighting for the same cause, but the things that go in our mouth are totally different. Yes. That's stupid. I've been trying to put together 10 clean minutes of comedy pretty recently. It's impossible. Clean comedy is like vegan chili, you know? you're eating it, and you're like, this chili's good. But you know what would make this chili even better? The word fuck. Oh, God. I've been told my material is not very relatable sometimes. I have been seeing a guy. That's relatable material. I've been seeing a guy for 6 months now, and he already popped the question. Some people that know me are like, oh, shit. So that's over. Not marriage. Anal. Yeah, already? What do you mean? And listen, like, I'm 32 years old. It's not the first time I've been asked, you know? But I thought it was weird that he asked me after we went out for Indian food. How is it different? Let's go back to that clean comedy that I'm working on. My boyfriend's in the military, because I'm a fucking patriot. Thank you. That's right. That is right. Do my service for this country. And my boyfriend was deployed, so we'll hope for his safe return, of course. But before he left, we decided we were going to try a little role play. So what he did was he grabbed his duffel bag, right, and he threw it by the front door. And I ran over to him just sobbing uncontrollably, right? And I go over to him, and I say, let me see if I can get into character for you guys, because this is good. Now, don't go being a hero out there, John. You got to come home to us. You got to come home, John. Thank you. And then he came over to me, right? Grabs me by the elbows. He shakes me like a rag doll. You know, all old-timey like. You've seen movies. And he looks me square in the eye and he says, "Now you listen here, Betty. You knew what you were getting yourself into when you met that hazel-eyed boy at the county fair. Now you need me. Timmy needs me. But goddamn it, the country needs me." Yeah. I come immediately every time. Like patriot. But like I said, he left for deployment. Now I'm left to my own devices. I have to masturbate now. But now I've got this visual going in my head, this dialogue, right? But it's gotten a little carried away. Now I can't make myself climax to completion unless I pay a guy to come to my front door with a folded American flag. This is the part of the show that I tell you my boyfriend's parents are here. The Wolzinskis, everybody. Thank you. Joe, thank you for your service, sir. Appreciate that. Got a veteran in the house. My boyfriend said, "Hey, you're not going to do that joke, are you?" I was like, "I'm probably going to do that joke." So find me on Tinder later, because I'm probably single after this. I'm going to shamelessly plug this, guys, but my mom calls me a lady clown. That's like the new thing now. So come see me after the show, buy a lady clown shirt. I just got the Square app if you don't got cash. But that's my time. Have a good rest of your show, you guys. Give it up for Deese. Thank you.
Chelsea Toll, everyone. Give it up for Chelsea. Buy one of her shirts afterwards. She needs gas money.
Yes,
home.
Please. I'm so poor in Seattle. I need food.
I thought you already went to class for that, by the way. That's what you went to Seattle for. Guys, you gotta get your shots? Yeah. Yes. Get your shots? All right, so I took those fucking Jamesons too, goddammit.
Woo! This is all so going downhill tonight. Fast.
Yeah. I took one of them. I took one of them. All right. Cheers, guys. Thank you for coming out. We appreciate you.
Wasted.
I know taking multiple shots of whiskey, and I do not like whiskey.
Because he's a Mexican. So,
but I love being drunk, so fuck it, let's do this. My alcoholism outweighs my choosiness of booze. Chelsea, so good to see you. Thanks for
you
coming
too.
To doing the show.
Thanks
yes.
for having me, Deez. I appreciate it.
It's funny. I've known Chelsea for, we were talking about earlier, probably about, I've lived in Spokane for almost 10 years, and I've known you almost that entire time.
Yeah, I knew you when you didn't have hair. Like, for some reason, Deez used to shave his head.
I did.
And he has a perfect head of hair under there.
Yeah, I just was, it was low maintenance. I was trying to pass a drug test.
Yeah.
turns out you have to shave all the hair. I didn't do it. Actually, the reason I started growing my hair is because we made a bet.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. So you're welcome, Spokane.
You're welcome. I
did this.
Yeah. This Nazi youth haircut.
Brought to you by hashtag Lady Clown.
Thank Chelsea. Yeah. It's very confusing when I tell people I'm Mexican. They're like,
are you mispronouncing Macklemore?
Never heard of him. So Chelsea, besides me, who are your comedic influences?
Don Rickles.
Yeah, no. It's really weird. It is kind of surreal because, like I said, we've known each other for so long and been friends forever, and then to both end up here doing the same thing after so many years.
That's
kind of crazy.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Someday you'll be funny too.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah.
Like, whose name's on the show, okay?
I know. I'm just sad. I'm lashing out.
Yeah, that's okay. you've always been hilarious. What was the impetus to actually jump in and do it?
I've wanted to do this my whole life. You know, I was always a class clown, growing up, and I've always taken great joy in making people laugh and making people smile, and I've got an overwhelming God complex, so I need to be up on a stage at all times. So
extreme narcissism.
So it took took the leap and took the move to Seattle, and
there you go.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah,
happy, healthy.
Now, how long has it been since you've been doing it consistently?
9 months.
9 months.
9 months.
How's it feel?
Feels good. Feels good. I was talking to somebody recently. I'd be curious if I ever made money doing this. I'd be curious to to do a documentary following, because in Alcoholics Anonymous they say you should go to 90 meetings in 90 days, and I did 90 mics in 90 days.
Yeah, that's a better meeting.
I did 90 mics in 90 days. Yeah. So just to follow a brand new open mic comic going to at least a mic a night for 90 days, I think that'd be a really cool concept. But that's what I did. That's what I started doing, just out every single night, getting up at 3:30 in the morning to go work at Starbucks every day.
Working for the man.
Yeah, being poor. So, yeah, no, but, just doing the grind and doing the hustle and getting it going.
Well, that's really the only way to do it. I tell new comics all the time when they ask me, I'm like, hit 4 mics a week at least for a year, then come back and talk to me. Like, that's really the only way.
I think in that first 3 months, it's amazing how much I grew. Even having written material for years, and
right.
It's about actually getting up and doing it. And it's crazy the growth that happened there, and then figuring out if I was actually going to be serious about it.
Yeah. So. Well, and you find out so quickly, like, so many things you write for years, then you get up on stage, like, that doesn't fucking work on stage at all. That's,
and you don't know. I mean, you don't know, because you can be the funniest person of all your friends, but you don't know until you get up on stage if people are going to, if it's going to conceptualize and it's going to, make it work up on stage.
There's different beats and through lines. Some of the funniest people I know hanging out with could never get on stage.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as I was thinking about this today as I was walking over here, we have so many, I think back on all the shit we did together, and I remember one of the first few times we hung out.
My boyfriend's parents are here.
No, this wasn't that bad.
I'm sober now.
We used to go what we called ghost hunting at the Rid Pass.
Oh, God, ghost hunting. That was so fun.
We'd get really drunk and go get into the Rid Path, and basically I'm admitting to a crime right now. We would break into an abandoned building and run around drunk at the Ridge.
Yeah, those were good times. And like we would like force ourselves into fear. And I think the most we ever found down there was like a homeless guy.
Yeah. Just like,
and we
like,
stole a bunch of old paintings. I mean, returned them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
A lot of good time. We should go do that tonight. It's probably
let's do it.
It's technically still abandoned.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think all the asbestos might give us HPV or whatever. How does it work? I don't know.
Can't give it to me twice.
Yeah. can take the girl out of Aberdeen, right? Or whatever they say.
So what now? Early on, or even later, it happens too. But what? Tell me about your worst experience bombing, like the time.
You know,
just like,
I was just having this conversation pretty recently. You know, sometimes clearly my comedy comes from a place of like self-deprecation, and it's pretty dark. And I like to start hard conversations about weird stuff, but make it light and funny. And you know, if we didn't laugh, we'd cry or whatever.
Yeah.
But I haven't, so I've had shows where I've had groans of like, that was uncomfortable. Actually, recently just had a lady come up to me after a show in Maple Valley, which is like, if Tacoma was located in the middle of the woods, basically. And she came up to me and I did a set and I thought it went really, really well, but there was a few people there. I think she was like the manager of the Applebee's in Maple Valley or something. But she came up to me and she goes, I respect what you do, but you made me very uncomfortable. And then she just walked out. So I have had shows of people expressing to me that not maybe their cup of tea, but I have not I've not yet had just like a complete, utter bomb. I've had shows that I didn't feel great about, but I've yet to really get up and shit the bed.
I think making people uncomfortable, at least in my opinion, is almost more gratifying
I live in the discomfort.
Oh yeah, it's great. Just make because that's anyone can laugh, but making them actually feel like think about that for days.
You're gonna remember that. You're gonna remember that. I mean, I talk about eating disorders and like you know stuff that's true to my life, but I think those are things that really stick out in people's minds, and it starts like I said, it starts some interesting conversations, even though. There's dick jokes in between, right? So,
well, and that's what comedy is about, though. We've come into such a PC culture where people are so protective about everything. Like, you know, we're just it's jokes. We're doing comedy,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah. Laugh
take
with
take
us.
Take it easy. Take
you paid
it easy.
To laugh. Yeah. Come laugh with us. You know, I want some of that licorice.
All right.
Hashtag recovery.
All right, Chelsea, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, social media and everything, so they can follow you.
Yeah, cool. I'm on Instagram at TheChelseaToll and Facebook, Chelsea Toll. I've got some cards and some shirts. If you guys want to come chat with me after the show, let's connect, let's talk. I'll be actually over here again next month. I've got 3 nights in a row, 3 shows that I'll be doing in Spokane Valley, Post Falls, and Springdale. Where's that at?
Springdale. It's
Hey, I'll come see ya if you'll still have me. Yeah. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, it's Springdale. It's Springdale on the 19th. Yeah. Good Times in the Valley on the 20th.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. That's 18th, 19th, and the 21st at the Buzz Comedy Showcase in Spokane.
All those
come
things.
Check that out.
I'll post it on my social meds, y'all.
There you go. All right. Guys, buy a shirt from her before you leave, okay?
If you
do buy something from her, also, we'll give you 2 free tickets to a future show. It doesn't have to be this show. You can go to a real one.
This is a great show. I'm loving this. You're killing it.
Thank you. But yeah, we will give you 2 free tickets to a future show if you buy something from Chelsea tonight. So definitely. But at least stop by, say hi, get her card, get her information so you can check her out. She's going to be back next month. All right. Thank you very much. Give it up for my friend Chelsea Toll, everyone. All right, guys. you know, funny, Speaking of our little ghost adventures, ghost hunting we used to do, we actually have a little sneak preview. I don't know if you guys know this. Ghost Hunters actually filmed recently here in Spokane, and we have a sneak preview, a premiere of that episode. Folger, can we check that out just for you guys here tonight? Sneak preview of the latest episode of Ghost Hunters. Let's check that out.
So yeah, I don't think I have an Asian fetish exactly, but like the last beep, six people
beep,
I
jerked. Wait, shut up. Beep, beep, beep. Wow!
Oh my god!
It's a ghost!
Oh my god.
We found one! It's actually a ghost.
Yeah, what did we do exactly? I've never found one.
Well, usually we just introduce ourselves. My name is Ronnie.
Did we arrest this?
Is that a guy or a girl? That's a non-gender.
Well, it's 2018 and you're asking me my gender? Really, man? Plus, you just found a ghost and your first question is what junk am I working with? Typical.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything?
We're not training for that.
Well, what do you mean? You haven't been training?
For what?
To find a ghost.
We don't arrest ghosts. Where do we put the cuffs?
Should we call the cops? What do you mean you haven't been trained?
Dude, you're literally holding a surge protector.
No, this...
And what are you gonna do with that?
You're holding a fucking vacuum.
I wanted to hang out with you, honestly. We have like 9 more seasons of this show. How are we supposed to find
How do you know we have 9 more seasons?
I assume we would just... We're hunting for the ghost every time, but we never actually find... Excuse us.
Oh no, it's fine. Go ahead. I literally have eternity. Get it? Because I'm a ghost.
We never actually find one.
Like, you don't actually believe in ghosts? What the
I mean...
What the
You?
Yes, I've done the ghost tools!
I'm pretty sure that's lawn equipment of some sort.
I'm not
plugged into anything. A starter kit to what? You saw me leave the house.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you guys. I don't know what you thought any of that gear there was gonna do for you. I mean, you were literally making that beeping sound with your mouth. That wasn't even the machine.
So wait, that one time the cup fell off the counter and you said it was a ghost. Was it actually a ghost?
I said it was a weird coincidence and it would be scary had it been a ghost. We watched a movie earlier.
You're letting it get away!
All right, first off, this is heavy.
You know what, guys? On second thought, I think I'm just going to let you two hash this one out. I've got this whole haunting schedule I keep.
What are we going to do? Are we going to take it to the precinct?
We have to do something. It's committing crimes!
I've got this bit with a rocking chair, and then I hang out in this guy's basement and sound vaguely like his furnace turning on, but not really, you know? Anyway, you get it. Okay, well, I'm gonna get out of here.
Ooh. Hey, man, thanks. I really appreciate this.
Yeah.
I gotta get out of this show. You look great.
Yeah, I feel great.
All right, good. Hang out here for like an hour, and
wait,
I'll be back.
An hour?
Yeah.
I skipped dinner for this. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'll just... Here. Just an hour.
Yeah, the show's actually been going a lot smoother since I lost my partner. I think this is a better format. You know, one person is a lot easier to film. We're making a lot of ground. We're breaking into a lot of ground. I think this is the way to do it, you know? Because he's going to feel really stupid at the end of this season. He's going to feel really dumb. Because I'm going to prove, one way or another, that ghosts really do exist. And he's going to feel really dumb. He's going to feel really dumb.
I think they're going to find the ghost, guys. I think they're going to find the ghost. So you there were so many endings to that sketch. I have to tell you how many ways we wrote and filmed the ending to that sketch, and we're like, fuck it, let's just go for the darkest way we can go. All right, guys, back to the business. Our final guest, musical act. Guys, we've got a great musical duo up coming up for you. Please give it up for Glenn and Rachel, everyone. Glenn and Rachel, everyone, give it up for them, these guys.
Thank you.
First of all, Glenn has like a Pentium processor for a brain. It's amazing. So I want to ask, can you name that intro song?
The intro song?
The one you came into.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I wrote and recorded that.
This one right here.
For you, that was Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille.
Thank you. I knew
I believe it was. Now, here's the great part about that. They could have called it Dragon and Tennille. And there's a reason for this. The captain, his real name is Daryl Dragon. Look it up on Wikipedia. Cool.
How about Captain Dragon?
Yeah, that would have worked.
That would have been amazing.
And one other thing is that Neil Sedaka wrote that song.
Who did?
Neil Sedaka.
See, a Pentium processor for a brain, this guy, every time I see him. But yeah, Glenn is actually the one who gave us the intro to the Social Hour. He wrote and did that song for me, yeah.
I basically shit that out after, after you challenged me to, essentially.
Well, no, so here's what happened. I was co-hosting a show, and I guest co-hosted a show, I should say, and Glenn was the guest at the time. It was the first time we'd met, I believe.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he's like, hey, well, what's your podcast about? I will get you a new intro song. So I'm talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, I'm like, this guy's like a legitimate musician. I'm like, sure you will, buddy. like, why don't I just get like Burt Bacharach to make me a new intro song? And he's like, no, what's a couple of beats on? I'm like, I don't know, we're politically incorrect, we offend people, whatever. And I was kind of giving him the hi-hat, like, all right. And he took my email address. Before the end of the night, he had emailed me a fucking song. I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing. So thank you, by the way. That's been airing on my show for years now. It's a great, great addition to the show.
You're quite welcome.
Guys, so you guys are a musical duo, and also you guys do all sorts of music, right?
We do. We do all kinds of things. We've been married for 23 years, so we dated.
Give it up for
two
that,
months.
Guys.
We were talking about how long you should date before you marry someone. We dated for 2 months and got married, and we've been together ever since.
Jesus, look
and
at that.
We don't recommend that.
No, don't recommend it for most folks. But as it turns out, her parents knew each other 2 months before marrying and never divorced. My parents knew each other 2 weeks before marrying and never divorced. So statistically,
it runs in the blood.
Weird phenomenon.
It's ridiculous.
So is that, did you guys, I mean, obviously you guys did music before you met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now together, and also separately, you guys do. I mean, you've got lots of projects.
Too many.
Yeah, far too many.
Yeah. What is it? The Buffalo Jones.
I recently quit that band
because
it's not a band he's in anymore. I'm just naming bands you're not in. You're not in Pink Floyd. I don't think you're.
After about 10 years of being with Buffalo Jones, I decided it was finally time to move on.
Moving on.
And I thought that my schedule will clear up and there will be nothing. I've done 3 shows this week since then, basically.
Yeah.
So it's and they're finding me somehow. I don't know how that works.
Well, yeah, that's good. That's good. At least they're looking for you.
It's a good thing.
So are you guys mostly doing music together now? Is
yeah,
that
absolutely yeah. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Glenn and Rachel.
All right.
So what kind of music do you guys we're gonna hear you in a second, but what kind of you guys do covers, you guys do originals?
We do everything. So we a lot of the times when you play acoustic shows, you need to play things that people know so that they understand, I can do this song that you know, and if you like it, then maybe you'll listen to our original stuff. Mm-hmm. So you gotta kinda give people what they want and then, you know, they'll give a little back.
That's right.
The problem is that you are now competing against the history of recorded music. And that really is what it is, because you, with the internet, you have at your fingertips. Like any song you could think of, like Love Will Keep Us Together. You know, you just
go I wake up to it every morning.
Well, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it is difficult now. You have to. Yeah, you really have. Yeah, I mean, what do you? There's so much behind us, and only. I mean, you know, we have all of that. It's like, why are you looking for anything new?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they should be looking for you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I want to talk about, Glenn also does a gaming show with a good friend of Travis Powell.
I quit that the same day.
Did you? Okay. All right.
That's not a joke.
This is his thing, is that he finds a project.
Did
he
you really?
Awesome, and then he leaves.
Wow.
Buffalo Jones and Traverses ended the same day.
Glenn had a bit of an existential crisis.
I'm going to fire my producer.
You are not helping Deason anyway at this point.
Well, you do hold some gaming records,
though.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. See, like, has anyone seen the film King of Kong, The Fistful of Quarters? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like about the highest score for Donkey Kong. So I thought, wouldn't it be funny to go for the best score on the worst game, which is E.T. for the Atari 2600?
That's right.
And it took me 8.5 hours, but I succeeded in doing that.
And urinating in a cup once that I had to bring
yes.
to him.
Yes.
I'm going to call him out on this.
In all fairness, I did not realize that you could take breaks.
Oh, you didn't know there was a pause button?
There are pause buttons like on later systems, but on the Atari, they didn't have a pause button, of course. But it's E.T. I could have waited at the bottom of a pit, and it would have worked out.
But what people... I don't know if some of you guys realize it. Do you guys... Some of you are probably not born even. You're too young for this. Tell the history of the E.T. Atari game, though.
Okay, so the idea behind that was that Atari thought this game's going to sell a lot of copies, and normally they would give a developer 5-6 months to make a game. They gave the developer 5.5 weeks to make a game so they could have it out before Christmas. So the fact that the guy was able to come up with anything at all, like a finished product, was nothing short of a miracle. Mm-hmm. But as a result of having such a short turnaround... it's a flawed game. You get up out of a pit and you fall back in the pit. And you try to get out of the pit and you fall back in the pit. And there were rumors for years that they had buried a bunch of unsold cartridges of this game in a landfill in New Mexico. And as it turns out, they really did. They did a whole entire documentary about it not that long ago called Atari Game Over, where it turns out that Atari did... that very thing. Just not just E.T., but other games, too.
Well, you know, do any of you know what Atari is?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, cool. You guys are 4, too. Cool. all right, guys. We're going to hear a song from them in a minute. Just before we hear that song, guys, tell them where they can find you if they want to hear any of your music.
We're mostly on most of social medias. We do separate projects, so I do things under Rachel Lane. He'll do things under Glenn Case. But anything we do together, we do as Glenn and Rachel. So we're on Facebook as Glenn and Rachel. We are on Twitter.
All of the streaming services, you know, Spotify, Amazon, and iTunes, and all of that, too. So, and I was thinking maybe I'll just grab the guitar and bring it over here rather than going through the app. I think that makes more sense.
Yeah, let's get it going, guys.
Fiddle reach. You got to plug in, though.
And now this is an original song we're going to hear, correct?
Yes. This is a song that we wrote, I believe, in 2003. And the reason we chose to do it tonight is because he actually has copies of the song on one of the albums that he's put out, physical copies.
For those of us who remember, records.
Yeah, records, vinyl. We are part of a songwriting community called songfight.org, and what they will do is throw out a song title, and you write a song based on the title. And everybody basically just gives you feedback. You win, everybody votes, whatever, but you don't really win anything other than good feedback. So this was our first big win as a duo writing, and probably the song that our friends and people that know us.
And that's extra percussion.
This is the one that probably gets requested the most. Glenn is also the Gerald Ford of rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen another human being that can destroy a stage accidentally in less time.
And you know what was funny about this was recently our mutual friend Nick Cavassier.
I wouldn't call him a friend of mine.
He approached me and said, I've had your album for years. I didn't know it was you. He found it at a Goodwill. So if you go to a Goodwill and you see this, you can just get it there.
Or you can buy it tonight.
Yeah, I think we'll go $10 on it probably.
There you go, $10. They'll sign it for you too.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So this this song's called Need Stilts. You might enter. It's like I always split a seam when you were near, but falling all the pieces round is natural, my dear. Getting up the nerve to make the move is hard. I'm not tall enough to reach where I hold you in high regard. I would need stilts to even kiss you, and I never thought that height would be an issue, but now up on that pedestal I placed you, and I'm never gonna reach you, it's too tall.
It's like I always have to smile at what you do, but I'm not sure if you see that from your elevated view. If I stood upon my tiptoes, could you see? Or are you so far up there that you wouldn't notice me? I would need stilts to even kiss you, and I never thought that height would be an issue, but now up on that pedestal I placed you, and I'm never gonna reach you, it's too tall.
Think it's time that I get past my fear of heights.
Maybe I could pass a note by satellite.
Maybe then 2 feet wide and 40 stories long.
You might reject me, but I could be wrong.
Feel like a circus act, I'm hoping that these work. If I built them incorrectly, then the fall is gonna hurt.
Seems unsafe to be this high without a net, but I'll choose taking chances over living with regret. I would need stilts to even kiss you, and I never thought that height would be an issue, but now up on that pedestal I placed you, and I'm never gonna reach you, it's too tall. I would need stilts to even kiss you, and I never thought that height would be an issue, but now up on that pedestal I placed you, and I'm never gonna reach you, it's too tall.
All right, Glenn and Rachel, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Keep it going for them, guys. Are you guys got any live dates you want to plug?
If you are a time traveler, we played one last night.
All right.
But if you are not a time traveler, we are playing. This just came up. I found out about it today. This goes to that whole thing of like, oh yeah, I'm going to quit a band and I will play less, and then all of a sudden the gigs are finding us. One Shot Charlie's in Harrison, Idaho, tomorrow. From 8 p.m. until midnight.
There you go. Go check them out, guys. Yeah. All right, guys. And after the show, again, if you go say hi, buy their album, $10. And again, you'll get 2 free tickets to a future show at the Spokane Comedy Club, okay? All right. Good deal. All right. Give it up for Glenn and Rachel, everyone. Keep going for them, guys. Make sure you go say hi to them at least. Follow them on Facebook. All right, guys. So that brings us to the end of the show. But as we do every episode, we have our in memoriam where we talk about someone we lost this month. And who we lost this month as we close out December, we memorialize 2018. Bye, right? Yeah, 2018, it's going away. I don't know if you know, this is the last month in 2018. Guys, we lost a lot of things in 2018. We lost many stars like actor Burt Reynolds, comic book creator Stan Lee, and legendary singer Aretha Franklin, whose funeral, I assume, is still going on. America realized, holy shit, we're only halfway through Trump's presidency. The show Mantis has now sadly been off the air for 23 years, showing little hope of revival. We turn to a song that was written nearly 70 years ago when it wouldn't have been appropriate for an unmarried couple to stay the night together. and turn it into a song about something it definitely wasn't about. Meanwhile, Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean drinking water, and nobody cares. But this song hurt my feelings. We got Space Force. Because of all America's wars are going so well here on Earth, we should start one in space. We built a zoo for Mexicans. We were all tricked into seeing another terrible Star Wars movie. And we finally decided that maybe women needed a chance too in 2018. And then some of us decided, nah. People started eating Tide Pods. And we stopped them. And now those people can reproduce. Why? Just let them die. And at a certain point in 2018, we were averaging nearly one school shooting a week, which means at that rate, the Kevlar vest I ordered on my Wish app should arrive in about 14 more school shootings. Hey. Tell the school shooters. America, as we leave 2018 behind, let's look ahead to a brighter and better 2019, a clean slate. Let's be better to each other. Let's try to be more understanding. Let's stop the witch hunts on both sides and look at the middle ground and where America can get back on track. We should focus and prioritize and maybe work big to small. Like when we have over 500,000 homeless people in America, maybe what gender you want to make Santa Claus, a fictional character we all created, isn't really that important. And if 2019 doesn't work out, we can always try again and look forward to electing President Camacho in 2020. But lastly, guys, let's remember that Puerto Rico is also a part of America, and they still don't fucking have power. Let's do better in 2019, guys. Bring it on. Thank you very much. That's us for us tonight. I would like to give a special thanks to Folger Emerson, Lucas Prom, Ronnie Taylor, Will Gilman, all my guests this evening, and the Spokane Comedy Club for letting us do this. And from this atheist to all of you, Merry Christmas. See, it's not that big of a deal. We don't have to be offended by stupid shit. Follow us on Facebook at The Social Hour, guys. If you want tickets to the next show, it's happening Sunday, January 6th at 7:30 p.m. You can stop by over here, sign up, leave your email address, how many tickets you want, and we'll send you free tickets to that show. And if you had fun, tell somebody and bring them with you next time. For Social Hour, I am Deese. Give it up to everyone seeing here tonight. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good evening. Get home safe.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!